Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining me today. I truly appreciate it. It's a great day. Today, I'm going to be talking with Scott Armstrong. Scott's the Indy's listing guru. And he's the owner and managing broker of Armstrong Real Estate Group. Scott, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me once again, Rick. And once again, that name never gets old. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. And I thought maybe first we'd start just kind of give people a little background, a little bit of your background and how to contact you.
Well, I've been in full-time real estate brokerage now for 8 years. And the best way to helping buyers and sellers transact transactions locally throughout all of central Indiana. The best way to get a hold of me, the only way really initially is my cell phone. If you're going to call it, 317-432-1544. You can call or text me day or night.
And I would encourage anybody, if they have real estate questions, looking at listing a home, Scott is phenomenal on the listing. He lists, I don't know how many homes he lists. It just seems like every day he's selling a house. It's probably not that way, but it just certainly seems that way. He is fantastic and does a phenomenal job, and he does it for a reasonable price. So I would encourage everybody to give Scott a call. And as you'll hear today, you're going to hear what an expert he is on the market, because we are going to talk about the housing market, and Scott is an expert. He has years of experience. It's not the years, but it's the volume of business that he's done. And Scott, before we dive into the state of the housing market in 2020, which has been such a crazy year, can you share with us kind of a summary of how business has changed and how the process looks different for buyers and sellers this year?
Yes, so sure. All of us are pioneering through an incredibly unique year with our respective businesses and lives, no newsflash, but real estate brokerage is certainly no exception to that. And in terms of the day-to-day changes this year, fortunately on the front end, Governor Holcomb, he essentially deemed all real estate activity, brokerage, title companies, lenders, as essential activity from the start. And we've discussed this before, but real estate transactions and the money spent is such a huge driver for the local economy. A good portion of the folks you see at Lowe's and Home Depot and Menards, and those are either homeowners or tradesmen or vendors working for homeowners that are there because they're involved in some part of a real estate transaction.
Right.
They're fixing it up and selling, prior to selling it, or making inspection-related repairs, or maybe adding their own custom touches post-closing, after a home that they've recently purchased. So our activity has not been shut down like for some who I certainly feel for this year, but business has been, I would say, far from usual. It's not business as usual. So in the terms of the day-to-day changes, obviously safety is at the forefront in everyone's mind and actions this year. So in March through May, I can tell you open houses were one change. They were virtually non-existent for 2 to 3 months. I have seen more and more open houses the last 2 or 3 months scheduled and posted, with obvious social distancing and strict protocol in place during those activities. Traditional showings, which is how most buyers choose to view and look through homes, that activity looks different too. There's really no longer any overlapping showings anymore. Obviously, in an effort to minimize the number of people in a home at any given time. So showing buyer agents and buyers, they have to abide by the rules and the protocol and the guidelines that listing brokers and sellers set up, in order to view that home, right?
Right.
So almost all sellers now are requiring masks by everyone upon entry, which most buyers wear anyway. So that's new. We have a new disclosure form that, it's essentially a form submitted to the listing broker in which all parties sign. And that form essentially memorializes the fact that no one has been in contact, to their knowledge, with anyone in the previous 2 weeks that has experienced symptoms of COVID or has been sick. So that's a new form and a change. I often walk into a gallon of hand sanitizer upon entry, as you can imagine, which I utilize every time. Most sellers now, this is something new. We're trying, and I advise this, but most sellers now are leaving doors open, closet doors and doors open throughout the house and leaving the lights on. And they come put the house back together after the showing and turn the lights off. And so what we're trying to do is, as best we can, we're trying to facilitate, a scenario in which buyers can walk through and see the entire property with a mask on, see the entire home, without having to touch anything, as they move from room to room and to different areas of the property. So, again, it's been full speed ahead as best we are all able, the entire year for the brokerage community and for buyers and sellers. But, certainly there is new protocol, and it's protocol that I suspect will remain in place for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me how quickly real estate changed, and not just in your area, obviously real estate agents, your showings, I'm sure your listings changed, everything kind of changed, and then it also title companies have had to change, and it's just not our industry, but every industry. How quickly they change. To me, it's absolutely incredible how quickly it happened.
We've all adapted quickly. We've been forced to, but you're right. Not only in terms of protocol process, but my goodness, I feel like I've lived through four different markets in the last 8 months.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the markets, can you give us kind of a summary or a snapshot of what the current housing market does look like here in central Indiana?
Yes. So if I could sum up 2020, quickly and in a few words, I think the theme would certainly be, at least at this point, lack of inventory. So in terms of the sequence and the timeline this year, in January, it was looking like a typical year out of the gate with respect to inventory levels, to the number of closings and pricing. But when COVID hit, and the real, true, reality of what we were facing kind of sunk in, and things started shutting down, I will tell you that, in foot traffic at active properties, this was in March, came to, almost a halt for a few months. The service, the company that helps facilitate our showings, the communication, gets approvals, all that. They also keep all the analytics on showing activity. And, March and April, and I'm going by memory at the moment, but March and April, the volume of and frequency of showings was down almost 70%.
Wow.
Compared to the same 2 months of 2019. Yeah, I mean, it was, I felt it across my portfolio of listings. I mean, there were days, and I'm not exaggerating here, Rick, when I would look at my phone and kind of shake it just to make sure the darn thing was still working. And I mean, activity was dead for 5 or 6 weeks, but it gradually, as things stabilized a little bit, protocol was in place, and it gradually increased in April. And, COVID or no COVID, there are always going to be a certain percentage of buyers in the marketplace that, you know, they simply have to move. And those were the folks, I think, that were driving, you know, most, if not all, of the activity in early spring, at least in my experience and my my activities, corporate transfers and, you know, death and divorce, you know, things where houses are getting on the market no matter what, and buyers are buying. So, you know, so we've gone from that, you know, almost, I would say, to a 180. So you have, you know, all this pent-up demand where nobody really listed, nobody was really looking. And then May, June, July, and August, my goodness, right now it feels like, you know, the wild, wild west. And now that things have stabilized, we've gone from a scenario where it was tough to get people through the door 7-8 months ago to a scenario in which buyers, I mean, literally are, you know, out of the gate when a property gets listed. They're fighting for showing windows and appointments and fighting to secure the property. So what has happened here is, you know, really not, and I don't think this is specific based upon everything I've read, to Central Indiana, as we are in a similar, you know, market and status to most of the country, it appears, with the exception right. of a handful of markets and cities, you know, for some unique reasons. But, you know, all of the homeowners that and that are just thinking about selling in 2020, which you know, to me, and I don't have quantifiable data on this, I'm only going by my 8 years of experience, but I feel like about a third of homes that are listed and have activated their houses are kind of the sellers that are, let's test the market, let's think if I can get this price, we'll sell, and so they're thinking about selling, you know, in 2020. You know, that whole crowd has just hit pause, and the folks that are thinking about selling have just simply, at least up to this point, made a decision not to list their home this year. And as a result, the supply of available homes, you know, month to month to month, is literally about 60% of what it was a year ago. So the supply has eroded at such a faster rate than demand. Demand for resale homes has actually sustained itself year over year from last year. I mean, I actually, in preparation for our chat right now, I actually looked at this morning. And, you know, year to date, we've had, and this is resale transactions, so this does not include new construction, new builds, et cetera, but year to date in Central Indiana, we've closed 30,433 homes. And I went back, and I knew it was pretty flat, pretty consistent from last year, but then I went back and I pulled the exact same timeline for last year in 2019. And last year in 2019 up to today, we had sold 30,419 homes.
Oh, wow.
So we've actually sold 14 yeah. more sales year to date in 2020 versus 2019. So, you know, that just shows that demand has remained strong, almost the exact, you know, same number of buyers. The difference this year is just simply the amount of homes that they have to choose from. So with supply dropping off 40% and the demand curve essentially, you know, staying flat, logically we're gonna see an uptick in pricing as a result. And if there is a second takeaway or theme for 2020, then I think that would be it, is the average price point. You know, our average sales price in throughout most of the counties, again, that's Marion and then the 15 or 16 donut counties, these average price points are up 10, 12, 13% year to date due to the, you know, erosion of supply, which is something I've not seen in 8 years of doing this. Typically, it's, you know, broadly, it's 2, 3, 4% maybe increase year over year. But to see this across all 15 or 16 counties is quite remarkable. I mean, there have been submarkets and pockets of Central Indiana. Fountain Square, for example, you know, had a heck of a run in terms of appreciation. You know, Zionsville, Whitestown, where those areas meet, I've seen double-digit appreciation in recent years, but nothing broad like this across the board. So I would say those would be the two things, you know, record low inventory and record high pricing at this point.
Yeah, you wonder what would happen if we actually had the inventory. But after the break, we'll be discussing the challenges in our real estate market.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Thank you for joining us today. We're talking with Scott Armstrong. He's Indy's Listing Gurus, and Scott's the owner and manager of Armstrong Real Estate Group. And Scott, how, if somebody has real estate questions, they have any real estate needs, how should they get a hold of you?
My cell phone, which is 317-432-155. Call me, text me day or night.
All right, perfect.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
You know, Jane asks, I hear homes are selling very fast and many times with multiple offers because of the seller's market. She wants to know, does she need to do any work on her home before she lists it? And Scott, I thought that would be a great question to ask you. She hadn't listed it yet, but she's thinking about that. Is it a time? Do you still do the same amount of work, or has that changed in our market the way it is today?
I would extract top dollar, then yes, I would take action. You know, most buyers in my experience, even though we're in a hot market right now, not all, but most buyers want to close, they want to back up the moving truck and dump their furniture and live. So every little item that they see that they think they're going to have to take action on post-closing, it has an impact. It has an impact on their perspective, which has an impact on valuation. So if there are actionable items that don't break the bank that, you know, most buyers are going to take a look at and notice as they're walking through the house, then I probably would lobby for that, because generally there's a good return on that. And again, it's about creating that turnkey opportunity for them room by room, and those are the houses that are able to extract typically top dollar.
Yeah, it makes total sense to me. I'm really into cars, and it's when you go to the auction, I do a lot of auctions, and you look at a car and you nitpick it. I mean, that's just what you do.
Yeah.
And so you two cars side by side, the car that looks the nicest is the cleanest. You know, they clean the wheels, they clean inside the wheels, they clean underneath the car. It goes for more money.
There's no question about it. There's a correlation there. And particularly on, you know, in this process, there's so much psychology in play when buyers are walking through a home. You know, if they see, and it's probably not any different than walking, you know, taking a look at a car and dissecting that. But if you see this has been neglected, or this hasn't been updated, or this scratch is there, you know, you start thinking, all right, what other things am I not seeing that have been deferred over the course of time? So, yeah, all you can do to get it in tip-top shape, I would take action.
All right, great answer. So what about, let's get back to what we were talking about in the market. Why do you feel the housing market is still going strong?
Well, I'm no real estate economist, but I think kind of although I do have a degree in economics from IU, I'm far from a real estate economist, but I do think that the macro kind of economic conditions at the moment are fostering, you know, this environment that we're in right now. I mean, we have a scenario that in which demand, you know, has remained consistent once again, but supply has dropped off significantly. And you combine that with interest rates at all-time, you know, record lows, and I can see why this uptick in values, you know, has occurred, and why the number of closed deals doesn't appear to be, you know, slowing down anytime soon. I mean, I don't anticipate this lasting forever, and supply levels remaining this low forever. But right now, my goodness, we're hovering around 1 month of available inventory in terms of burn and churn, and you know, buyer, the volume of buyer closes versus active inventory. In Carmel, you know, I looked this morning, and you know, if you go back 2 years in Carmel, we've got, you know, where I live, we've got typically 150 to 170 buyers per month. you know, give or take 10 or 20 either way, but around 170 buyers per month. And right now we have less than 175 properties fully active and available.
Wow.
And, you know, yeah, population of, you know, close to 100 or maybe over 100 if you listen to our mayor. I don't know the exact number, but right now, and, you know, and broadly speaking, in Central Indiana, we have twice the number of homes pending versus active homes. So I think, you know, for all these reasons and current conditions, you know, these are the key drivers and reasons I think the market is still on the uptick.
You know, it's funny with that, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, so it's the market is so strong. Is there any real, you know, what are there any real challenges in the market? And it sounds like obviously one of them is inventory. What are the challenges that are out there right now?
Well, I would say that just thinking out loud, that first and foremost, the biggest challenge, I think without question, is on the buy side. You know, buyers often right now being forced to compete with sometimes literally 6, 7, 8 other offers that are submitted, it feels like, promptly and all at the same time. I mean, in a market like this, you know, you had better be able to act swiftly when a home hits the market and you know, appears to be a good fit. I have not really seen anything like this where, you know, so many of the listings, Rick, are calling so soon for highest and best offers right out of the gate due to multiple offers on the property on day one. And I've been in, I've been in scenarios in normal times that, you know, in the last few months, in normal times, offers I've submitted would have been a slam dunk, you know, with a quick response and a quick acceptance, you know, from the sellers.
Right.
And right now, it just seems like you're competing with a half a dozen offers on any home that you submit on. And, you know, those other buyers are in the same boat and putting forth the best possible terms they are able to on every home as well. So it's I just have not seen you know, this competitiveness with buyers and trying to secure inventory. I'll tell you a real quick story, but this is a true story. About 2 weeks ago, I was in my office and got a call from a client that is actively looking for a home right now, and she told, and I had set up an auto search for her, so any inventory that hits the market is automatically sent to her that you know fits her criteria and may be a possible fit. She called me at 12:45 and got the email at 12:43, which means that the property was listed probably at 12:41, and she was at the dentist office getting a crown. And she said, "I'd like to take a look at this property. I'll call you when I'm done." And she called me, and 2.5 hours later, 2:45, 3 o'clock, "Can we look at it tonight?" And I said, "Sure." And went to go set the showing, and I could not find it in active status any longer.
Oh,
and,
wow.
So the you know, and sure enough, I looked, and the home was already moved from pending, you know, to pending status, connected with the broker. So in the same time, you know, she was at the dentist chair getting a crown on, you know, a property was listed, you know, a buyer got there, submitted an offer on site with their agent, and it was accepted by the sellers all in less than, it couldn't have been 3 hours, 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Wow, that is crazy.
So that's the, you know, climate that buyers are having to kind of, you know, endure at the moment, and at least, you know, that's our reality at the moment. Beyond that challenge, I would say, you know, maybe for me personally as a listing broker primarily, and although I'm pretty much on pace to duplicate, you know, last year's numbers, which I'm grateful for, but you know, with 40% fewer listings, that's 40% fewer listing agreements.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, the opportunities to connect, you know, with sellers and to get the kitchen tables, you know, that's certainly been impacted this year. And it just feels to me like instead of competing, you know, with one or two other brokers for the opportunity to help, you know, now it feels like I'm competing with the world, but that's good. I mean, competition is good for us all. It makes us all better. And, we're all better, then we're all able to serve at a higher level. And we're still on pace to close 40,000 transactions this year or more. So that's a big enough pie for everyone. But I would say that's probably the two challenges that stick out to me at this point.
Yeah, 40,000, it's amazing in this environment that without you think if we had homes on the market, how many more there'd be, how much more the volume would be.
No doubt, particularly, 40,000 with such a low start in Q1.
Yes, crazy. We've only got about 2 minutes left, but I wanted to ask, how do you see the housing market conditions changing in the upcoming months?
Well, if you listen to, actual real estate, National Association of Realtors and Zillows and people that are smarter than I, that crowd overall, and they always are, but they're very, very bullish on 2020. And it's hard to say. We've got so many unknowns and at the moment between the pandemic and the election. I do think, President Trump will do all he can to keep the economy pumped up with policy and stimulus and eviction hold. Every president wants to do the best they can to keep, particularly during election year.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But what the core issue, what's impacting pricing and driving the up and up and up is simply the lack of inventory normal to, relative levels. And at some point, that's going inventory is going to increase and the pool is going to increase, and that's going to impact valuation. I will tell you, if we do get a vaccine in 2021, that huge crowd of folks that are just thinking about selling, I think that will start to give people peace and get on with their lives. And I see a huge wave of supply, at that point, if we do get a vaccine in the short term, as long as interest rates stay low, supply stays at record lows, prices are going to continue to rise. So it's hard to say, but Rick, I honestly think right now, I'm not sure the most accomplished real estate economist on the planet can tell you, what's going to happen in 2021, and that's what it's going to bring us. There are just too many unknowns to forecast anything precisely at this point.
Right. It's everybody wants to forecast it, but nobody can actually see the future. So it's one of those things where,
trying to predict the, time the stock market or which is virtually impossible as we all know.
That's right. If I could predict the future, I'd buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah, there you go.
if I could see the future, that's what I'd be doing. But one thing you said though, you said that you thought that if they have a salute for the coronavirus at some point, that you think that would really open it up. Is that what you think's holding it back?
That would help foster a feel of normalcy, as people gain peace with their health. And again, I think a big reason such a large pool of the folks that have not decided to list their house, the election may be part of it too, but I think the uncertainty with how the vaccine will continue to impact our world, people don't in general like making big moves in times of uncertainty. And I think a vaccine that can, if it's effective and it's effectively deployed, I think that will go a long way, giving people peace. It will give us some normalcy, and we'll start to see supply levels ramp up again. Which quite honestly, that could have an impact on valuation and pricing. That could drive it down a little bit, the more houses that are available. So I don't see this, sustaining itself forever. And all of us obviously are keeping our fingers crossed and hoping. It goes as best it can.
Yep. Well, hey, Scott, thank you so much for joining me today. We've run out of time. If someone has any real estate needs, how can they contact you?
317-432-1544. And thank you for having me again, Rick. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. So contact Scott Armstrong at the number he just gave. And thank you all for joining me today, and have a great weekend.